Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy radio show, live here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash and the Take It Easy podcast YouTube channel. Shout out to everyone tuning in live on YouTube or after the fact, and shout out to everyone stopping in however and whenever you are on Open Talk Radio. Subscribe on YouTube, subscribe to us on Open Talk Radio, subscribe to Open Talk altogether. We just got done with the Game Chat boys, and they were talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get into the Aaron Rodgers talk. It is bonanzas out there, people. Like, everything is just going to hell right now. I've been running around for the last 40 minutes just creating content, doing all kinds of random BS at this point. It is a crazy madhouse out here, people. And lo and behold, here we are, live on Open Talk Radio for our NFL draft special that has just totally been hijacked within the last hour. We are live on the air reporting here, and we need to just dive right into it because I haven't even had the time yet as I'm running around making content, reading different stories. Whew, I'm just catching my breath here, reading different stories, making a bunch of memes, jokes about Mac Jones going to the Packers. Packers aren't going to be able to trade Aaron Rodgers tonight. It's way too close to the draft. This will be a way down the road thing. But here is the story dominating the headlines before we get into anything and everything crazy that is going on right now in the world of sports and overall in the world of the NFL, because the NFL is our global sport. The NFL is a monopoly on the sports media empire, and everything is just going crazy right now. And now that we are all good to go, here is, and it took me a second to pull it up, here is the story from our buddy Adam Schefter, and shout out to the guys who got this down set early on in the process for nailing this story. Here is the Aaron Rodgers story from Adam Schefter. This is the first time I'm reading it as well with you guys. So for those listening on Open Talk, you guys get fun sound effects like this. For those on YouTube, we're playing fireworks right there on Open Talk Radio. So the fireworks have exploded here. Here's the story from Adam Schefter that took me a minute to get up, so I had to filibuster real quick. But here is the story from Adam Schefter. Reigning NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team, league and team sources told ESPN on Thursday. The Packers are aware of his feelings, concerned about them, and have had team president Mark Murphy, general manager Brian Gutekunst, and head coach Matt LaFleur each fly out on separate trips to meet with Rodgers at various season ended. We are committed to Aaron in 2021 and beyond, Gutekunst told ESPN. I like saying Gutekunst and LaFleur. LaFleur is like French and Gutekunst is German. So Gutekunst and LaFleur. So that's just a flourish I add to it because it's funny to say. Aaron has been a vital part of the success, and we look forward of our success, and we look forward to competing for another championship with him leading our team. End quote from Guntenkust. Rodgers, 37, has not budged this offseason, but neither have the Packers, who have made it known they are not interested in trading Rodgers anywhere. The San Francisco 49ers called the Packers on Wednesday night, a source told ESPN, and the Los Angeles Rams inquired about Rodgers in January before they traded for Matthew Stafford. By the way, that one was kind of an open secret, but the Packers were still in the playoffs, so it didn't really get reported all that much. The Packers quickly dismissed the Rams' overtures, so the source said. The Packers have offered to extend Rodgers' contract, sources told ESPN, and this is why, this is me ad-libbing now. This is why there are reports that they have draft day deals in place to deal Jordan Love, not just to the Patriots, but even to the Panthers potentially. There's also news that Drew Locke may be up for sale with the Panthers and the Vikings. Vikings makes all the sense in the world. Panthers, that would be really strange given that, you know, they just traded Teddy Bridgewater to the Broncos. That would just be perfect from those two organizations doing those two organization type things. But back to the story. The Packers have offered to extend Rodgers' contract, sources told ESPN. Rodgers is unhappy for a variety of reasons, with some of it dating to last year's draft when the Packers didn't inform him before trading up to draft a quarterback with their first-round pick. Some took this as a sign that his days in Green Bay could be numbered. Also is at a different point in his personal life, having recently gotten engaged to actress Shailene Woodley. I hope I said her name right. Someone can correct me, but no one actually can. But I hope I got her name right there. Rodgers has also hosted Jeopardy and said it would be a dream, not important. Rodgers has made cryptic comments about his future in Green Bay, but he has told others that he does not want to return. On draft night, the Packers' biggest issue isn't who they land, but whether they can keep the three-time NFL MVP. An NFL player has never been traded after winning the MVP awards in the previous season. The only MVPs to not return to their team in the season after winning the award were Norm Van Brocklin, retired, and Jim Brown, retired. Rodgers' contract contains a $6.8 million roster bonus due in March. It could have been converted to a signing bonus that would have freed up more than $4.5 million in cap space this season, but instead it vested as schedule, a source at ESPN at the told ESPN at the time. It is listed as an automatic conversion in Rodgers' contract, but even that has to be signed off on by both parties. It's not known if the Packers tried to convert Rodgers and Rodgers or convert the money and Rodgers refused to sign on it, or if they did not attempt a conversion. If they didn't attempt a conversion, that seems like a failure on the Green Bay Packers part. So that's the story blowing up the world right now, is that Aaron Rodgers is the night of the draft looking to demand a trade. And I have to say, this is definitely a bigger, more fun news story than the idea of the Green Bay Packers trading, for example, or not Green Bay Packers, the Dolphins losing out or gaining Laremy Tunsil because of his gas mask. Like, this is more fun than talking about Laremy Tunsil's gas mask. Damn, I ruined that joke right there. As you can tell, we might be a little flourished here. I'm trying to catch my breath. I'm going to need some water at some point here. I'm just doing everything I can to keep this thing steady because not since we were live on the air for our season debut on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, when James Harden was announced that he had been traded to the Brooklyn Nets, not since that very moment have we had more insanity going on, not just on the Take It Easy radio show, but live on the air to try and filter through all of the garbage and you know what that is going on right now. Here's the Jake Lazor tweet. Quote, Aaron told Packers he doesn't want to return, as Adam Schefter said, and I think it's more than a contract deal. I think he's pretty strongly convicted that he does not want to go back to the Green Bay Packers. With all the reporting that exists around the NFL, it's incredible. You guys heard the game chat, guys. We can talk about fake trades, and we can talk about draft day scenarios. Look, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be traded for another 2-3 months. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. They don't even have a deal in place. All that we know is that the 49ers called. And now that this is out here, everyone's going to be flooding the Packers organization for the next few days. But look, he ain't going to be traded. If the Broncos can't even trade Drew Locke in the draft process and the 49ers can't even trade Jimmy Garoppolo, there's no way Aaron Rodgers is getting traded. Like, there's, if the Patriots can't even trade N'Keal Harry in the process of the draft, there is no way Aaron Rodgers is getting traded within the next, like, next time we come on the air on Open Talk. Like, this will be a way down the road thing. There are no contract implications. The Packers are going to talk him off the ledge, and even then there might be a gruesome holdout into training camp, a la Ezekiel Elliott or a la Antonio Brown, or I guess Khalil Mack could be an example, but again, you're just going to have to, like, wait it out and see how all of this plays. So let's not do the fake trade thing now. This will just be content that fills the air for the next 3 months or so. Let's talk now about just the specifics of the idea of an Aaron Rodgers-type player asking out of Green Bay. Because one of the jokes I had made was after the NFC Championship game, and there's always truth to this. That's what sarcasm is. There's obviously a little bit of truth to all of this, is that we were going to be doing about 7,000 hours of Aaron Rodgers wanting out content without anything ever actually happening. But now we actually see stuff is happening, which I did not think would happen. I felt like Aaron Rodgers would have to be the one to push it, of course, because even though the Packers drafted Jordan Love, if Rodgers is going to win an MVP, then all of a sudden everything is just going to have to be delay, 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 wait it out and see how things go. And so this leaves us kind of in this position where, yeah, we're fine with Aaron Rodgers being the guy, and we're fine with Aaron Rodgers being, I guess the, by the guy, I mean like the person who's ready to get to go. And like Aaron Rodgers is like, yeah, he can be the Packers guy. And yes, we want Jordan Love, but we're okay with keeping Aaron Rodgers, even if we have Jordan Love. Like, we're okay with this. Jordan Love may have been a mistake and their plans have totally changed. Hence the fact that, as I mentioned while we were talking, they may have deals in place where Aaron Rodgers gets traded out of Green Bay. I'm sorry, where Jordan Love gets traded out of Green Bay, not Aaron Rodgers. They don't have anything where Aaron Rodgers gets traded out of Green Bay, but they do have something in place for Jordan Love potentially as early as tonight, which now has probably been totally blown up because of this contract news and the idea that Rodgers is ready and wanting to leave. Like, everything may be blown up at this point. But what's fascinating is the Green Bay Packers have prepared for every possible contingency, and yet at the same time are not prepared for any of the contingencies to actually hit themselves, because now they have their quarterback in the waiting. They want to extend Aaron Rodgers. They may have to trade Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers is dead set on pushing this. They may want to trade Jordan Love and recommit to Aaron Rodgers at 37 years old, coming off of an MVP. There's all these different scenarios in waiting for the Packers, and every single one I look at points towards the Packers ending up messing it up, because I look at keeping Jordan Love and I think you're never going to have what you have right now with Jordan Love, which is back-to-back 13 seasons and an NFC championship. You're not going to have it again with Rodgers potentially down the road. Look at how fractured the relationship is between him and LaFleur. By the way, from reporting by Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report, not even the coach that Aaron Rodgers wanted wasn't even consulted on the hiring of Matt LaFleur. They just said, Aaron, don't mess this up for us. Don't mess it up for us. So that's obviously pressing on the situation. Then you also have the Green Bay Packers sitting on what they hope is, you know, a decade more of Aaron Rodgers or a decade more of success. I don't really know exactly what that game plan is for them, but it's really, really tempting to just look around and be like, here we are in this situation, and say to ourselves, do we have to stick with this? Because they did it last year when they drafted Jordan Love. It was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing to Aaron Rodgers? And all of a sudden it came full circle, and now here we are with Rodgers. I mean, of course, look at how betrayed he has been by the organization over the last 10 years. You can go back to the end of the Mike McCarthy era where he was just betrayed by the Packers organization. Then you can go down the line to the hiring of Mike LaFleur, or not Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur. Was not consulted. Organization told him, just don't be like that. Don't be stubborn. Just let's go with it. This is our guy. This is who we want to hire. Just don't be stubborn around it. So then he gets into Green Bay. Then they try and hide him in the system that is basically designed as such for someone like Aaron Rodgers to, you know, for example, hand the ball off to Aaron Jones and hand the ball off to Jamal Williams and be kind of a game manager. And it worked pretty well. Like, the ones where Rodgers had to take over were the ones that they ended up struggling to win, and that's understandably fair. And then they draft Jordan Love, and then they draft A.J. Dillon, and then they get to next season and Rodgers wins MVP, and they don't bring in wide receiver help because they tried to bring in Devin Funchess. He opted out of the season. Then we can go through last season where he wins the MVP, gets to the playoffs, loses to Tampa Bay. LaFleur kicks the field goal. And, you know, that one was totally indefensible. Like, the idea of kicking the field goal there, like, you're just giving the game up at that point. So you have LaFleur kicking the field goal. Bad decision. Then you have this offseason, re-sign Aaron Jones. A good move, but also, what was the point of drafting A.J. Dillon if you're going to re-sign Aaron Jones for $12 million a season? So there's that situation. Then there's this draft now where they're kind of just holding out to see what it ends up being. Do they trade up? Do they get a wide receiver? Do they trade Jordan Love? All of this is coming full circle now to the Packers, where, of course, this man has been betrayed by the organization that is totally, totally incompetent. You've had 25 years of two of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and you've won two Super Bowls and a lot of NFC championships in between. Like, the Packers have been the gold standard of an NFC that for 15 years has put 12 different organizations in the Super Bowl. 15 years, 12 different organizations have played in the Super Bowl. And the Packers are a byproduct of losing in the NFC championship game, blowing the game. We were talking about Brandon Bostic earlier, myself and my roommate. Brandon Bostic being the guy who, like, is infamous as Packers being screwed over. So you have that game you lose. You lose to the Falcons in the NFC championship game. You lose to the 49ers in the – well, yeah, I guess you lost to the 49ers in this NFC championship game, and then you lose to the Bucs in the NFC championship game. It's going to be really hard to explain how a team that went 30 and 8, LaFleur is as a coach. It's going to be hard to explain how that team – no, wait, 28 and 8? Yeah, 28 and 8 as a coach, 26 and 6 in the regular season. It's going to be hard to explain how that hasn't won a Super Bowl or at least been to a Super Bowl in those first 2 years because of just how good the Packers actually are. It's pretty remarkable just how good the Green Bay Packers are. And this is the crazy thing that's happening right now. As everything, you know, falls apart, Aaron Rodgers' career is basically going to waste at this point. And so the Packers have betrayed him at every turn, and it was something that was always on the forefront of our mind. It's not, I mean, we're blown away because there was no indication that this was happening. Like, that's the thing I find so amazing, is that with everything that goes into reporting in the NFL, the idea that there wasn't anything concrete until right now, and now we're seeing, like, this was a known secret for weeks, that they were negotiating beforehand, and Schefter and Rappaport were sitting on it, and, you know, Diana Russini had information and Jay Glazer had information. This was all on the down low, but there just wasn't enough to concretely put behind it and then blow up the NFL world this afternoon, right for us to go on the air for the podcast. So Aaron Rodgers is just throwing a wrench in the NFL's plans. Again, this is the other thing I was joking about over on the Instagram, is just this is the biggest move since Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson were also going to get traded. Like, there's no guarantee that there's anything actually going to happen, but just the idea that this is floating around makes everything infinitely more interesting. That all of this is just floating around out there makes everything infinitely more interesting as we get closer and closer towards the NFL draft. And Aaron Rodgers is probably going to still end up playing for the Packers next season, if I had to guess. It's just a matter of, like with Russell Wilson, who didn't really want to put his foot down. Like, Russell Wilson will be traded next offseason, but it's just how aggressive do you want to be? How much do you want to stick this out? How much do you want to be aggressive in getting what you're looking for? This is just questions that Aaron Rodgers is going to be going through, and we'll figure out with time. Again, I thought the Deshaun Watson thing would play out for months, and it probably would have until this situation with his legal battles, and Russell Wilson is waiting until next offseason for the mutual parting of ways. And now Aaron Rodgers becomes the poster child of this, because now it is a – like, once is a fluke, twice is a pattern, three is a tendency. If Watson's ready to go with that incompetence of an organization, which is to another level of the Packers, you have that incompetence in Houston. You have a level of – not necessarily incompetence in Seattle, but just apathy. They're a well-run organization, but they just – they're stuck in the same cycle. I've talked about this with the Seahawks, where – since that Super Bowl loss to Malcolm Butler, they were in the second round, missed the playoffs, bounced in the wild card, bounced in the second round, bounced in the wild card, and bounced in the wild card. So it's just apathy and the same cycles for the Seahawks. It's just being stuck in the same place over and over that's frustrated Russell Wilson to the point where it would be a mutual parting of ways. Texans mismanagement on a whole nother level to what we're talking about with the Packers, which is just betrayal at every single turn. And Aaron Rodgers deserves better. Tom Brady becomes what he is because he got better. Patrick Mahomes gets to go to the best, one of the best-run organizations in football. Lamar Jackson, who's the only other elite quarterback that we're talking about other than Russell Wilson. Well, I guess you could throw Kyler Murray in there, too, and Josh Allen, who will be in their places. But you're talking about even Buffalo is pretty well-run now. Like, Buffalo has gotten their you-know-what together with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. But you're talking about Kansas City, one of the two best-run organizations in football, or best three-run organizations in football, with Andy Reid, the second-best coach. Belichick, best-run organization in football. That's where Tom Brady was for years. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, one of the best-run organizations in football. They would be the gold standard if not for the Patriots. So I guess they're like the silver or bronze standard, I suppose. And Aaron Rodgers has a chance to do the full-time Jeopardy job, I guess, which, you know, that could be interesting. But that's just another thing. I love that that's how Aaron Rodgers wants to parlay his future. Aaron Rodgers ending up in Jeopardy would be interesting. And I think that that would be a fun little way that he wanted to parlay being the biggest celebrity in sports would be into being the host of Jeopardy. I'd find that super interesting. But Aaron Rodgers is super fascinating for like three reasons there. But it's a really interesting case study of like, yeah, there's a betrayal by the organization. Yeah, there's Aaron Rodgers ready to move on and move to a new place, I guess. But of course, there's a reason to want to leave if you're Aaron Rodgers, because it's a very poorly run organization in Green Bay, even with the new executives who did, you know, trust has to be earned in a lot of these circumstances. I think Ron Wolf, who was the previous GM, earned a lot of it over time. And obviously, John Schneider then goes to Seattle, and his is very well run with John Schneider. It's just that the Seahawks are now kind of apathetic and going in the same cycles, because to be honest, as short as the careers for athletes are, they actually do last a really long time. And we act like 15 years is like a short amount of time in football terms. But the idea that Aaron Rodgers has been in the same place for 15 years, or that Russell Wilson has been having the same wild card exits and the same second round exits for like 6 years, all of it is kind of just, it's apathy over time, because like there's only so many years. And if you look at it from a percentage standpoint, sure, it feels like 15 years is a short amount of time relative to career lengths, but 6 years of that, if you're Russell Wilson, that's 40% of your career. Let's see, 2 divided by 5. Yeah. 40% of your career going towards just being apathetic and being just stuck in the same place over and over and over again. Like it's a tough pill to swallow when it's 40% of your career. And at some point, Al Davis has the great point that about 10 years is the longest he'll keep someone employed, because at a certain point, apathy sits in. You've mastered the job that you're doing and you need to go try another challenge. And I guess that's where Russell Wilson seems to be at. Aaron Rodgers, it looks like frustration to where he's like, why can't I be happier? Like, why can't I find joy in what am I doing? Why can't I feel like I have the trust of the people I'm entrusting with pretty much assembling the roster that's going to determine my legacy? Because Aaron Rodgers is only one quarterback, and Yes, he's never had a season where he's lost more than 9 games, but that's the belt. Like, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you should never be, like, losing more than 7. There's got to be a level of incompetence in there, or in the case of the Texans, the worst of the worst, plus bad luck in one possession games that somehow makes you go 4-10 with Deshaun, or 4-12 with Deshaun Watson and blowing, like, 5 games in the fourth quarter. But you should never really lose more than, like, 9 games if you have Aaron Rodgers on your team. So there's a level of incompetence for falling there. But Aaron Rodgers needs to put, or he is putting the trust of the organization in, and the trust that they determine a lot of his legacy because of the roster they assemble that gets you, you know, 2 yards or 3 yards or one game better than X, Y, or Z team, which is obviously so minuscule when we're talking about football standards. But it's a trust level, and I think the new Packers brass in an organization that has been incompetent doesn't really have a figurehead that they have a CEO that basically works as an owner. It's technically like an elected position by the board, but there's only been like 5 CEOs in the history of the Packers. The Green Bay Packers definitely not earned Aaron Rodgers' trust, not LaFleur, not, well, I guess 2 years, they got better last year, but you can still point to the field goal, taking Rodgers off the field, to trying to make him a game manager towards the end of his career, only for him to win MVP. The front office and LaFleur with the drafting of Jordan Love, the drafting of A.J. Dillon, the fact that the Green Bay Packers got 7 total playoff snaps from their 2020 draft class, none of which included a wide receiver. They signed Devin Funchess, and oh, by the way, Devin Funchess opted out from COVID. So you basically added nothing to your weakest position, and you've got no contribution from the rest of your draft class. The Packers got 7 playoff snaps, all from A.J. Dillon. Again, emphasize that. Last year's draft got 7 total playoff snaps out of that production for the Packers with 7 picks. They got 7 snaps in the playoffs, all from A.J. Dillon. And by the way, you re-signed Aaron Jones anyways, which is a fine move, I guess. I mean, I'm always anti-paid running back, but it makes even less sense because I believe A.J. Dillon is the most talented running back from his draft class. But why are you signing Aaron Jones if you just paid A.J. Dillon? So there's that confusion that sets in for the Green Bay Packers. And oh, by the way, now you have a situation where the organization has proven incompetence in the past, proven incompetence with Mike McCarthy, led to apathy from Aaron Rodgers that makes you question, you know, is Aaron Rodgers a good teammate? Is Aaron Rodgers someone who is, that's another random news and notes from the draft, sorry. Certain teams have reached out to the Packers. There have been no trade offers towards Aaron Rodgers yet, even though they've reached out. So obviously he won't be traded for a while, but anyways, going back to what we were saying before, Aaron Rodgers has, you know, there were a lot of questions, and when I heard the Tyler Dunn story, which has still resonated with me, you know, about 2 years later from when the reporting was done, when they hired LaFleur and basically Rodgers wasn't consulted on the move, I saw that and I thought, oh, so is Aaron Rodgers a bad teammate? Now I look up and I say, no, Aaron Rodgers is dealing with incompetence. Aaron Rodgers is dealing with an incompetent organization, going through apathy, gave them a chance. He's given them 2 years because he's got this contract and because he didn't want to make a mess out of things. And now, thanks to Deshaun Watson, inadvertently, the first Deshaun Watson stuff, and Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers has a chance to step up to the plate and demand this trade. He couldn't do it post-Jordan Love. He stayed quiet over Jordan Love. That was the crazy thing. He made the one statement when he got to OTAs and did not mention Jordan Love again after the fact. So that was where Aaron Rodgers was in that process. And lo and behold, now it's time to make that step up. Now Deshaun Watson has paved the way for you. Deshaun Watson went through the brick wall and then did damage to himself with the sexual harassment, potentially sexual assault again. Sexual harassment, sexual assault cases, and the fact that he now can't be traded because he's going through the legal system, he paved the way. Russell Wilson created the media shitstorm, even though Russell Wilson said, you know, I'm going to stay here next year. The way I've described it is that the Seahawks and Russell Wilson are getting a divorce, but they're staying together for the children until they graduate at the end of next season. And Aaron Rodgers has had the pathway paved for himself to push his way out of Green Bay because he does not want to play there anymore, even as it looks like. And I think this is, again, we don't know exactly, but from what it seems like the Packers organization has pivoted from their original plan. Their plan to, you know, prepare Jordan Love, to, you know, bring in A.J. Dillon, let Aaron Jones walk. It seems like they've pivoted from their original plan because they've had back-to-back NFC championship games and they want to maximize this window. It seems like the Packers have pivoted from their future plan. With that in mind, it also seems like Aaron Rodgers wants no part of this organization. That's what the reports today are saying, because he just doesn't trust them. Simple as that. Maybe I could have done that in like 4 minutes instead of 10 minutes or 2 minutes instead of 20 minutes, but we got to fill content on the radio show, people, and boy has Aaron Rodgers given us some content. He just doesn't trust the organization. Breaks out because everyone was sitting on these reports, which, boy, isn't this amazing to see how this goes down. You know, 0% chance that they deal Deshaun Watson. Everyone's holding on for that one. So, yes, this is interesting. So, well, we were going to have a draft show here today. Should we get to the draft show here at some point? Seems like kind of a good idea here, but let's see. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers fell in the draft. I don't know why these great quarterbacks always fall in the draft. It is very interesting to think about. All right, so let's get to the draft show. Here are the reports from our buddy at NFL Broadcaster on Instagram, and I should pull this up real quick here. So, it seems like something crazy might be breaking out here for, you know, in the near future, Green Bay Packers or something like that. Who knows? Again, time will tell on this one. Give it time. But here is our friend NFL Broadcaster. If you listen to the podcast, you know from him that there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and he is behind it for the reports. And, oh, my God, the Packers just – or the Steelers just signed Mason Rudolph to an extension. Barring huge trades to get into the top five, it looks to be that the top six picks are going to be Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Ja'Marr Chase, and Penei Sewell. So, Jaguars, Lawrence, Jets, Wilson, we know that. 49ers looks to be more Trey Lance. This was supposed to be the big story we were talking about coming in, which is, you know, it looks like Trey Lance is going to be the pick down at pick number three for the 49ers, which helped restore my faith in humanity that that they're going to pick, they're going to get Trey Lance with that pick instead of picking Mac Jones. For Atlanta, Kyle Pitts, I did find an interesting report, and this is also from our buddy NFL Broadcaster, that the Falcons' fourth overall pick would be Trey Lance if he were available. But since it looks like he'll be off the board at three, it appears that they want to go Kyle Pitts. Unlikely to trade down, but they're waiting for like a hell of an offer. But since we expect that Lance will be number three, it looks like Pitts will be number four. But if Mac Jones is number three, then Trey Lance might be number four. Again, this is anticipated that it's going to be Trey Lance. Reports are suggesting that it's going to be Trey Lance. But again, they do say only Shanahan and Lynch know, but it would be strange if they were all being duped. Even in lying season, it would be strange if they were all being duped. Every report would be duped on this. So Ja'Marr Chase at five seemed like that was an inevitability. Knowing that Pitts would be gone by pick an inevitability because Joe Burrow wants to get his guy at number five, so they'll take Ja'Marr Chase. And then the Dolphins get the blue chipper. And this is why the Dolphins went back to number six in the first place, at least from what every report after – not every report, most reports after the trade went down where they moved from 3 to 12, then back up to six, which basically I've been calling it a three-team trade. I know it's technically not a three-team trade, but from the three-team trade where they moved from 3 down to 6, it was just that the Dolphins wanted a blue chipper, and they're going to get a blue chip prospect. either Pitts, Chase, or Sewell. They just get whoever falls to them, and I think they'll be happy either way with that. And Ja'Marr Chase going off the board early takes a lot of the drama out of it, because there were talks like they might be more interested in Waddle than Ja'Marr Chase, but Chase being off the board at six takes a lot of the interest out of it. So they'll take Penei Sewell at pick six and then worry about the wide receiver down the road or a tight end or whatever they want to do, because, like I said, Preston Williams is their number three receiver now. And I'm higher on Preston Williams. I think that a lot of the pro Preston Williams camp is starting to fade to the blackness, but I'm still high on Preston Williams. I want to believe that Preston Williams can still be something, but obviously the Dolphins' health might just improve the Dolphins next year, but they do need some wide receiver depth, even if it's lower in the draft. So, by the way, NFL Rumors is confirming about the same thing. We could also laugh at Tim Tebow a little bit at some point. That would be kind of fun. So it looks like those are the top six picks. And by the way, if you check out today's mock draft on the Take It Easy podcast, we have something similar in the books for, Ja'Marr Chase, Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, top six on our mock draft are the same that our buddy NFL broadcaster is reporting. And then things get interesting as Justin Fields starts to slide, because now this is where I want the Patriots to step the bleep up. Patriots, I need you, need you to walk away from this draft with Justin Fields. Please find a way to walk away from this draft with Justin Fields, because if the 49ers are going to pass on him, which we now know is going to happen, at least not for Mac Jones, but they are going to pass on him, and this is a chance to prove everyone wrong once again. And this is the weird thing that's happened in the NFL. I saw a story about this a little bit ago, is that for some strange reason, we always see good quarterbacks start to fall. Aaron Rodgers fell to pick 24 in the NFL draft. Lamar Jackson, pick 32. There's a video of him just sitting in the green room waiting to be drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, a really good organization, by the way. Patrick Mahomes was pick 10, but that was actually a leap for Patrick Mahomes by Patrick Mahomes' standards. But again, a top three quarterback in any draft would never fall to pick 10 anymore. So Patrick Mahomes goes to 10. Deshaun Watson, third quarterback taken in his draft class. He goes at, you go down the list further. Tom Brady doesn't count. Tom Brady is an anomaly. He was like a sixth round pick. We're talking about like even good quarterbacks just falling on draft day. Josh Allen fell to pick 7. No, Dak Prescott doesn't count either. Russell Wilson, that counts. Drew Brees, that counts. Drew Brees was a first round pick, fell to the second round. Russell Wilson should have been a first round pick, fell to the third round because of his height, similar to Drew Brees. Both of those count. So there's just this weird anomaly of people not knowing what they're evaluating when it comes to greatness, because it's something different, I guess, but different doesn't necessarily mean good in a lot of these cases. And I trust a lot of the people doing the analysis, but, and because so much money is now invested in this, scouting has become increased, and because there's a lot more analytics involved, scouting has become a lot more accurate over the years. Specifically in the last like 15 or so. So I trust that the scouting is probably correct on a lot of these things. Like, it seems strange that we're in a place where, you know, like you're just blasphemously wrong. Like Roy Moore, I think his name is. I can't remember exactly the name, but it's something like that. Just blasphemously wrong at the top of the draft doesn't really exist anymore. Because of how good the evaluation process is on these quarterbacks. Like, Jamarcus Russell doesn't really exist anymore at the top of the draft. You don't see just spectacular flameouts at the top of the draft as often as you used to did. Like, we still see Blake Bortles at the top of the draft. Like, they still exist, but not in the ways that they used to exist, where you have spectacular flameouts in the NFL draft. Some of them do. John Ross still exists. But it's never going to be a perfect system. Like, you're never going to get it absolutely 100% perfect, but the systems are getting better. And so Do I trust Kyle Pitts is going to be awesome? Absolutely, Kyle Pitts is going to be awesome. Is Ja'Marr Chase going to be awesome? I think so. Is Penei Sewell going to be awesome? If the man is, you know, college offensive lineman of the year at 19, yeah, probably. If people are saying he's, you know, top, maybe the top prospect in the draft, yeah, he might be great. But Dolphins fans, mentally prepare yourself for Penei Sewell. Bengals fans, I've already got memes ready for when you guys draft your quarter or your wide receiver that played with Joe Burrow and you're just reassembling the LSU teams of past years. I've got everything lined up and prepared for you when this NFL draft season rolls around. And boy, are we getting some engagement. Like, let me tell you, the Instagram, everything, boy, are we getting some engagement going on here, because everything's just going to hell right now in the NFL. I love it. I love when everything starts going to hell, because then we have just madness left and right and upside down all over the place, and Aaron Rodgers makes that infinitely more so. But, I mean, this is draft day, people. Like, we have an hour show here. We're already, like, 18 minutes in. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes talking about LSU and sexual assault scandals and talking about Kevin Porter Jr. and doing long-form stories or mixies or Max Scherzer trades, it can be daunting. But it's days like today where we can zip on through the NFL draft that make things just infinitely more interesting, infinitely more fun. It just creates this entire dynamic, this just entire dynamic economy that exists around football. So getting back to the draft, Jaylen Waddle, he's going to be somewhere up there. Again, I think that Devonta Smith would be the guy, but the Lions are in this weird place right now where we don't know what they're going to do. Haven't really heard a lot about the Lions because they're going to miss out on one of these blue chippers. Obviously, Pitts is going to be gone. Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell and Justin Fields is going to be there. I would take Justin Fields if I'm the Lions. Like, let's just do this. I don't want Justin Fields to go there because I feel like the Lions are going to mess him up. Because the Lions always mess up the quarterback position. Or not, they don't mess up the quarterback position. They just mess up every prospect and every good thing that has ever happened to them. That was funny the way I said that. It's like, they don't mess up quarterback prospects. They just mess up every semblance of happiness that they have in their organization and hope that exists. Except Calvin Johnson. He'll be a Hall of Famer. I think this year he goes into the Hall of Fame, which is crazy to think about. But, yeah, so Detroit, I would take Justin Fields there. It doesn't look like they're going to take Justin Fields. Let's see what these Lions people are saying right now with the number three pick. Detroit Lions draft. Let's see what some people are saying. Let's try the Sio Lions report, courtesy of FanSided. After 12 years, I don't think there's really any obvious pick here, but assuming that the first seven picks go there, man, this is tough. I mean, as a defensive player, the Lions have needs everywhere. Like, they're talking about taking a position of luxury because their top wide receiver is Tyrell Williams, but, I mean, do you really need that right now? Do you really need a wide receiver, just pick best player available, which could be a wide receiver? Let's see what 50 mock drafts for the Detroit Lions found. So we have 12 Penei Sewell, 9 Micah Parsons, 9 Jaylen Waddles, 4 Devonta Smith, 3 Christian Darrisaws, 3 Ja'Marr Chases, 2 Patrick Surtains, 2 Rashawn Slaters, 1 Caleb Farley, and 1 Trey Lance. Okay, cool. So 50 random mock drafts gave them, looks like the most predictable one is Penei Sewell, but Sewell's probably not going to fall to 6 unless the Dolphins go wide receiver, which, according to our buddy NFL broadcaster, does not look to be the case. By the way, check him out on Instagram. He's got really cool content. So looks to be not the case there. Then you can go, I guess, to Micah Parsons is a possibility. Teams are trying to trade up to 7, but it doesn't look like the Lions have any kind of buzz. Like, we know already that there's a deal in place with the Patriots and the Panthers. Like, we already know that they have a deal set up in the event that they're ready to move down in the draft. But it's just really, it's interesting because, what's the best way to put this? So Detroit, and so the Patriots and Panthers, like when you know that there's a trade in place, you expect something's going to happen in the near time that's going to affect that move. So if you're sitting there and you're the Panthers, and you're sitting there and you're the, let's see, the Patriots, and you're the Lions and the Broncos who may want Justin Fields. If Justin Fields is going to start to fall and the Patriots realistically feel like they can get him, I don't know why they're talking to the Panthers instead of talking to the Lions, which makes me think that the Lions have someone they're dead set on knowing how the top six of the draft is going to go. Is it Jalen Waddle? I feel like that would be kind of idiotic. But, hey, the Giants took Andrew Thomas last year, so idiotic can be the name of the game in this place. The Lions historically have been kind of idiotic, so it would fit their billing if they were to, you know, go T.J. Hockenson and then Jeff Okuda and then take a wide receiver at number 7 without addressing the quarterback position or addressing – well, they used, like, the line or something, so I guess you're good there, but I would take Justin Fields if I'm the Lions. Like, no ifs, no ands, no buts. I'm taking Justin Fields. I know it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but if I were the 49ers, I'd take Justin Fields. If I were the Falcons, I'd take Justin Fields. I don't understand why everyone's passing on Justin Fields when they're like, hey, this Trey Lance guy, everyone wants him, which he might be better than Justin Fields. To be fair, I haven't watched any Trey Lance tape, and I said last year that the Dolphins would be idiotic to pass on Tua Tagovailoa for Justin Fields. Like, it's entirely possible. I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about what the bleep is going on. But I've seen Justin Fields. For 2 years, everyone's been saying Justin Fields is the guy. And to be honest, I just don't know enough about Justin Fields. I'm sorry, know enough about Trey Lance or evaluating, like, anyone to actually be like, yes, we can definitively say that this person is going to be emphatically awesome. It's just not the name of the game. And so it's very interesting where things stand with the Lions. I'm interested there. We can give the more in-depth analysis on the later picks, but I think the best way to do that would be by downloading today's mock draft over on Take It Easy's podcast, which you can check out anywhere and everywhere that you get podcasts. And also check out all the wonderful content on Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash. I wish we'd had more NFL rumors coming in here. We probably would have talked more in depth about Trey Lance and Justin Fields here during the draft or during the live draft special. Would have probably been something interesting. Needed that water break. I said I needed that water break at some point. But it's interesting how we're kind of just sitting around and being like, okay, here's the different rumors on draft day, and we know who the top six picks are going to be pretty much at this point, since it would be strange that everything would be, you know, set in stone, and Aaron Rodgers going to Jeopardy throws an entire, like, shock in this, like, entire loop, or throws an entire shock into this draft. But now it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers wants to recommit, and so now everything's thrown into a loop where we can all create fun content for about an hour and a half or so live on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or radio or podcast or everything that we're trying to do to build ourselves a nice, good old brand out here, talking about Aaron Rodgers on a Thursday afternoon of draft day 2021. You could only see that on the YouTube live stream, but still, it was a fun little gesture that we had thrown in there. So I've got nothing left here to talk about. I know we're going to cut this thing a little bit short here, but Rodgers news drains a lot out of you for the last 10 minutes of the show. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping into the Take It Easy radio show, an NFL draft special here, and we'll be back next week to fully break down all the craziness that happened in the NFL draft, I think. But then again, the news cycle will change pretty quickly here as we wait to see, you know, what the Chargers do at 13. It's almost futile to try and pick those later picks in the NFL draft. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, thanks for stopping in today, and as always, take it easy. We'll talk to you again next week on the radio show, on YouTube. Stay tuned for all our cool stuff.